Hi, I'm Ahmed Shahabuddin, filling in for Femi Okay, and you're in the stream. Today, an American basketball superstar detained in Russia. We'll look at the case of Brittney Griner and the growing trend of hostage diplomacy. As the war in Ukraine continues to strain relations between the U.S. and Russia, there's growing concern over the detention of WNBA star Brittney Griner, as well as other U.S. citizens detained in Russia. Griner, a two-time Olympic gold medalist who also plays in a Russian league, was arrested in February after authorities allegedly found cannabis oil in her luggage. She could be facing up to 10 years in prison. But is Griner's situation really a hostage-taking by Russia, and how should such cases be handled? Let's meet our guests today. Let's start with you, Jason. Please introduce yourself to our international audience.
I'm Jason Rezaian. I'm a global opinions writer for The Washington Post, and I am the host of the Spotify original podcast, 544 Days, which is about my time as a hostage being held in Iran by the Iranian regime when I was the bureau chief for The Washington Post.
And which I should say has been nominated for a Webby, and you should definitely check out. Dave, please share with our audience, you know, why you're here and what you do.
Well, I'm here because you asked me, which was awesome of you, so thank you. My name is Dave Zirin. I'm the sports editor at The Nation magazine. I'm the host of the Edge of Sports podcast, and I've written 11 books about the politics of sports. The most recent one is called The Kaepernick Effect, Taking a Knee, Changing the World.
Thank you, Dave. And last but definitely not least, Danny, could you share with our audience why you're here, what you do?
Thanks for having me. My name is Danny Gilbert. I'm an assistant professor of military and strategic studies at the U.S. Air Force Academy and a non-resident fellow with the Modern War Institute at West Point. And I'm here because all of my research is about kidnapping by armed groups and hostage taking by states.
Yes, and we're definitely hoping to discuss that and, you know, the differences there and the implications, of course. Jason, let's get straight to it. I mean, you know, as you said, you were detained for 544 days, wrongfully detained and imprisoned in Iran. In your mind, in this case, is there any doubt that this is a hostage situation?
Look, thank you for having me on, Ahmed, and for shining a light on this issue. There are obviously a lot of things that we don't know about the Brittney Griner case. But from my point of view, as someone who has not only experienced one of these hostage takings by a government myself, but also been reporting on them for the last 5 years, there are a lot of red flags here. Brittney Griner was arrested in February. That arrest was not announced until sanctions were starting to mount up on Russia over their invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. The Russian government announced her arrest through their propaganda networks, publishing a mugshot of her. And for many weeks, they denied her consular access. These are all red flags, not by my standards,
right,
but by the standards of the State Department. And so whether or not she's been classified as a wrongful detainee or a state hostage, as I would say so, the factors are in place that she very well could be.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we've seen the Russian government say, no, we didn't deny her access. You know, the consular just didn't want to meet with her. I mean, we've seen this kind of play out already as if it were that sort of a situation. Dave, you know, the U.S. State Department and private attorneys have called for no international uproar, really silence on this issue. You know, I'm wondering if being silent is effective.
Well, it's clearly not effective, given that Brittney Griner faces 10 years behind bars and 5 years at a labor camp. So that makes us, that should make us all be willing to challenge the State Department line that we should all be silent right now. Mm-hmm. And at my end of the world, I just feel like the strategy has been really wrong, and I mean in the sports community. I mean, there are two wings of the sports community right now in terms of Brittney Griner, both of whom I think are failing Brittney Griner and failing all of us. First, there's the mainstream sports media community that's just ignoring this. I mean, if Tom Brady was behind bars in Russia, there would be a daily vigil on sports radio. There would be a daily vigil on ESPN. It would be talked about all the time. It would be an international uproar. And yet here's Brittney Griner, a black LGBTQ woman who is the most recognizable basketball star, I would argue, on the face of the earth. But It's like they don't have a language. The disrespect for women's sports is so ingrained in sports media, and racism, sexism, homophobia. There's so much of that mm-hmm. that it's almost like there's no language to even discuss Brittany Griner. Then you have the community of the NBA and the WNBA who seem to be following the State Department dictates to just be silent. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have real doubts if not raising up her name is an effective way to actually raise attention to this and bring her home.
I want to just jump in and add Please. One more thing. I think that this idea that this can be handled quietly mm-hmm. With such a public, well-known figure, as Dave pointed out, it's impossible, right? All you have to do is go on change.org and see that there is a petition to free Brittany Griner, signed by tens of thousands of people.
Right.
My family put one of those up while I was in prison. 500,000 people signed it over a period of many months. This is not a secret, right? This is something that is happening out in the open. You know, the U.S. government, the WNBA, Brittany Griner's family decided not to talk about it.
Right.
The Russian government made a decision to put this out in the world,
right?
Once that genie's out of the bottle, you can't put it back in.
And even if maybe the Ukraine war and the invasion by Russia is a distraction or is, you know, maybe somehow overshadowing her situation, maybe they aren't separate. I mean, it does beg the question, Danny, I'm curious, hearing Jason's comments there, why will, you know, or why are they continuing to be silent and advocate for silence? What are your thoughts on that?
So I think it's an excellent question, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. So before I answer, I just want to say, even though I work for the U.S. government, I'm not here today speaking on the U.S. government behalf. So one of the things that I've learned from spending a lot of time talking to former kidnappers is that when they think that the person they're holding is more valuable, that raises the stakes. That makes them ask for more, demand more concessions to get the person home.
Mm-hmm.
And so a serious fear that we can have about making the case of Brittany Griner even more public, if there were people out in the streets, if there was more media attention, all of those things that we're talking about here today, it could actually make it harder to get her home. One of the reasons that I think it is important to raise the stakes and have publicity about her case is about a different audience. It's not about the audience of the Russian government. It's not about changing Vladimir Putin's mind. Publicity actually serves the case to convince the U.S. government mm-hmm. that it can't let up on this case. And so mm-hmm. if we think about publicity in that way, it's a really kind of different target.
I'd also like to play for an audience in a little bit some of her teammates' reaction, not teammates, I should say, colleagues in the WNBA, how they're reacting and what they've been saying in terms of finally speaking out a little bit. Dave, go ahead.
Just that I think what we all agree on is that the question of silence and letting the State Department do its work, or the question of having vigils, having demonstrations, agreeing to do shows like this, is that silence is a tactical question. Not a principled question. Mm. So what is the best tactic to actually get Brittany Griner home should be our question. And the silent route, which apparently started with her arrest in mid-February when nobody knew where she was for several weeks,
It
just hasn't worked. And when you consider the situation between Russia and the United States right now and the absence of, which I assume, of diplomatic back channels, or if they're there at all, They're probably not having Brittany Griner's name on the front burner.
You know, I know you wanted to jump in, Jason. Let's listen to what Lisa Leslie had to say, another WNBA star, you know, speaking out finally about, you know, why she's been silent and why others like her have. Let's take a listen.
What we were told was to not make a big fuss about it so that they could not use her as a pawn, so to speak, in this situation in war. So to make it like it's not that important, or don't make it where like free Brittany and we start this campaign. Do we know, is that the right thing to do or not? It's heartbreaking.
Right.
I mean, for all
Thank
of us you. To, that's the feelings of it. I mean, you want to do more and you think, should we all use our social media platform and get behind it or not? Like nobody really, this is the first time we're in a situation you don't know what to do.
Danny, I see that you're nodding as you're listening to Lisa there. I mean, it seems odd that diplomats from the U.S. have yet to put Griner in that category of American travelers who were wrongfully detained, which would free up or at least allow more kind of scrutiny and additional attention from the government to kind of solve this. That, with the silence, it does seem to suggest that maybe the silence is actually increasing the likelihood that she's going to, you know, stay in Russian jail or even worse. What does it mean to publicize this case? Would you advocate for more people to speak out, including her teammates?
So at the moment, I would say one of the things that we could be advocating for is for the case to be transferred from one corner of the State Department to another.
Okay.
So far, a lot of the press that I have seen talks about consular affairs covering her case. Mm-hmm. And the point of consular affairs is to visit her in prison, to make sure she's getting, that her rights are being respected and that she's able to have those visits. Consular affairs is not working to get people out of prison. Americans are arrested abroad all mm-hmm. the time. And in lots of those cases, we're not trying to negotiate for their release or to pressure them to come home in any sort of way. But there is an office at the State Department, the Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs, what's known as the SPIHA. And if the SPIHA takes on a case, it means it's elevated to right. a different diplomatic level. Means you're actually working in some respects to try to get that person.
And just to clarify for our audience, that has yet to happen in this case. Whether that does happen or not, it is interesting to note that there have been people, including former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, tweeting about this case. We've seen Tim Kaine, senior Democrat and senator, say that he believes Russia is actually using Brittany Griner as a bargaining chip, which would indicate that it's a hostage crisis of sorts, or at least lend some credibility there. I'm curious, Dave, listening to Lisa, listening to what Danny said, and looking at what the WNBA has said in this statement, I want to share it with you. In close collaboration with U.S. government agencies, elected officials, individuals and organizations with expertise in these matters, and Brittany Griner's representatives and family, we continue to work diligently to get her safely home to the United States. I hate to put it so bluntly, but Dave, is there proof, or is there hard factual evidence that that's in fact happening, that the government is doing that? I mean, perhaps we assume it.
This is a question of assumptions at this point, not a question of what we actually know to be true. And like I said before, if you're the United States government and you're dealing with Russia and Ukraine, I don't know where Brittany Griner is on their list of priorities, but I can't imagine it's very high. And we need to change that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so interesting that at the Oscars, I mean, there were things that happened at the Oscars other than the thing we're not going to talk about.
Right.
But there was an amazing short film called The Queen of Basketball. Mm-hmm. And the director, Ben Proudfoot, when he won the award, what he said was so interesting. He didn't say, Vladimir Putin, please bring Brittany Griner home. He said, President Biden, please act to bring Brittany mm-hmm. Griner home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where our focus needs to be. No one's asking the WNBA to occupy the State Department. All I want to see is not this kind of imposed silence. I've spoken to people in the WNBA.
Right.
People are bursting to want to say something
right.
about this, but they're so scared.
And they should.
That if they
and
do,
should get up and say something. The fact of the matter is, I want to piggyback off of what both Danny and Dave said. There is this notion, as Danny mentioned, that, if we talk about it publicly, it raises the stakes.
Right.
But that more has to do with criminal gangs and terrorist organizations. Governments know what they're trying to get when they take an American mm-hmm. hostage. Sitting here quietly about it ensures that we are not forcing the U.S. government to do their job.
Right.
One of their jobs is to protect the rights of citizens mm-hmm. while they're abroad. And Davis is 100% right. The United States president, in this case Joe Biden, mm-hmm. is the person who's ultimately going to decide mm-hmm. over the fate of Brittany Griner and dozens of other Americans who are being held right now, because it requires kind of a presidential sign-off that,
right.
you know what, we are going to do whatever deal, however unsavory it might be,
right.
to free this person.
Right, right, right. And, on that note, you mentioned that there are more Americans being taken hostage by sort of state governments. I think it's 19 publicly known U.S. nationals being held by militant or criminal groups. But when it comes to states, it's about 43 being wrongfully detained. And, that's quite a disparity. Before we kind of break that down a little bit, I do want to take a quick moment and just kind of... there have been comments, let's say, in the YouTube chat, and people are asking, why are they going? Why did she go to a country that your country has beef with? What was Brittany doing in Russia? And I think these are important questions. Perhaps people don't know that roughly half of all WNBA players actually play overseas in autocratic countries, and a lot of it has to do with how they're treated, what they're paid. I mean, 5 to 8 times as much their salaries in the States. Dave, what can you share with us about this point?
Well, I can share the difference between making 60 grand a year and making an extra $1 million a year. Because in other countries, and some of them are autocratic countries like Russia, they tend to treat women's basketball players a great deal better than we do in the United States, where the WNBA is a very salary capped and low salary league relative to the revenue that they produce. And so for women's basketball players, going overseas is not some option. It's not, you know, a fun way to see the world after the WNBA season. I mean, it's a question of making as much money as they can before their career inevitably ends, probably in their late 20s or early 30s. Mm-hmm. So that's what Brittany Griner was doing over there. She was a champion basketball player in Russia. And that's the other part of this. Like, the idea that airport security didn't know exactly who she was when mm-hmm. they approached her is mm-hmm. another part of this story. That we have to say, it just beggars belief that their story, that a dog smelled hashish oil in her bag, and that's how we've gotten down this road. It's like, come on, please don't spit in my face and tell me it's raining.
Danny, you know, when you...
Go ahead. Yeah. I was just going to say that there's actually 3 Americans currently being detained in Russia. They're Paul Whelan and Trevor Reed, who've been held for several years. And my understanding is that they were arrested shortly after the United States arrested 2 Russian intelligence agents. And so you can see with those cases that it is almost a very clear tit for tat that Russia is holding these Americans because they want to get these 2 agents home. Mm-hmm. With Brittany Griner's case, I mean, in some senses, from Russia's perspective, it's maybe irrelevant whether or not she had any illicit substances in her bag or not, because they are going to be acting as if she does. They are going to be acting as if this is a legitimate arrest, even mm-hmm. if the entire purpose is to hold her hostage and to use her for foreign policy leverage as part of their war in Ukraine. And so we can see that she is, you know, this is a really difficult moment for an American, for a famous American, for a Black LGBTQ American to be right. imprisoned in a country like Russia. And frankly, puts the United States government in a really difficult position, because traditionally, to get the right. state hostages home, concessions have to be made. And that means pitting foreign policy interests of the United States against this interest in protecting American citizens and doing whatever we have to do right. to get them released.
Which
from
is precisely why this issue is such an important one. I mean, the disparity in the number of state hostages compared to people being held by criminal and terrorist organizations mm-hmm. really stuck out to my colleagues and I at the Washington Post when we reported that back in November. This is a problem that's getting worse and worse and worse. It's getting worse because governments can get away with it.
Right. There are no preventative measures. I mean, what can the U.S. or other...
First of all, we have to, you know, come out forcefully and call it what it is.
Right.
In the 2 other cases that Danny spoke about, Trevor Reed and Paul Whelan, you know, when you hear the term wrongful detainee, it's kind of confusing, right? These are 2 Americans, 2 veterans, 2 citizens who lawfully went to Russia, who are being held hostage on mm-hmm. trumped-up charges as political leverage against the United mm-hmm. States of America. And Brittany Griner may very well be in the exact same position.
Well, and I think for context, for those who might not know, it's important to mention the timing that, you know, she was taken into custody in Russia as Russia was preparing to invade Ukraine. This mm-hmm. was, you know, these things maybe, I'm not trying to conflate them, but they didn't happen in a vacuum. And, you know, she's continuing to be held and the mugshot was released and, you know, the war is continuing and the sanctions are being placed on the Russian oligarchs, one of whom actually owns the team that she plays for there. So, you know...
All the while she's being denied due process. Let's
right.
not forget about that.
Right. And yeah. I mention these facts sort of actually, you know, because this isn't, of course, we're talking about Brittany today, but it's not just about her. And Jason, I want to share with our audience, you know, foreign governments, as we said, are the predominant hostage takers of U.S. nationals now around the globe. And in a short doc, Bring Them Home, which you were an executive producer on, I believe, I mean, it really tells the story of yet another American, Imad Shadji, who has been detained in an Iranian prison for, I believe, more than 3 years. I want to just... listen to what Imad's wife has to say, and we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
It feels wonderful to be able to hear his voice. I want to hang on to the closeness that I feel when I speak to him. And then we hang up, and then we never know when is the next time we're going to get to hear his voice again.
Bye, Imad. Bye, Imad. Bye.
For 2.5 years, I was We as a family have decided to talk about Ahmad's case because, well, guess what? This didn't work.
You know, Danny, I mean, this didn't work. This, that gesture that she did there, pretty powerful in of itself. I mean, when you see that, what can we learn from that, and what kind of instruction can it give us on how to handle Brittany moving forward?
I think that footage is so moving, Jason, and it's impossible to imagine what it's like for me to be in the shoes of these families when their loved one is being held. I think that the advocacy that we can be doing toward the U.S. government, encouraging them to stay focused on these cases, is incredibly important. I think there's a flip side to that, which is that one of the things that President Trump really became known for was advertising how much he was focusing on these cases, mm-hmm. which can have the effect of really putting a target on Americans' back mm-hmm. around the world. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the other things that this publicity can really do is it prevents the hostage taker from having an easy way out. It prevents them from saving mm-hmm. face if it really looks like it's a hostage taking, instead of they're finding some other way to resolve right. the case.
Right. And if I may very quickly, we'll try to get to you, Jason. We're running out of time slowly here. We do have a couple minutes. Dave, I want to come to you because one of the things that you mentioned in your article right here in The Nation, the tactical silence has failed. Say Brittany Griner's name, advocating, you know, for a different strategy and approach. You said political prisoners quite literally die when their names are swallowed in our throats instead of shouted to the heavens. Do you feel that should be the case in every case, or you know, as some people are saying in the case of Brittany, including, you know, her teammates and taking instructions from maybe the attorneys, that silence might actually serve her better?
Yeah, I mean, I what I know about this comes from speaking to folks like Danny, people who do this for a living, people who I've spoken with uniformly have said to me that, yes, there are times when silence is the best way to do it. But once the person has been established as a hostage, which I believe absolutely Brittany Griner has been, then the time for silence has ceased. And my job right now is mm-hmm. to get the sports media, frankly, to wake up that this should be the biggest sports story in the United States until Brittany Griner comes home.
And Jason, just so you know, part of why he advocated for that, I know you wanted to jump in, but I just want to clarify is that, you know, the whole world is watching is the kind of message that Dave is suggesting Putin and Russia needs to be aware of.
Of course.
On May 18th when she finally enters, you know, a courtroom.
Certainly. I mean, in the vacuum of no information about this case out in the world, they can do whatever they want. And, you know, I would encourage Dave and others to keep writing about this. As someone who's written about many of mm-hmm. these cases, since I myself experienced the same thing, I can tell you that no one has come home from being a hostage that I wrote about and ever said to me, hey, Jason, I really wish you hadn't reported on my case. I wish you had just shut up and let me rot in prison.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty powerful testimony from you right there. Anything you want to add, Dave? You're nodding? Are you in agreement?
Just because something I was just talking to somebody about the other day was that when Brittany Griner comes home, do you really think she's going to thank all of her colleagues who didn't say anything? No, she's going to thank the people that raised up her name and made sure that she didn't have to drown in the silence and darkness of being a political prisoner.
Yeah, you know, very quickly, Danny, as I hear Dave say that, it makes sense to me. But then I wonder, well, why would anyone pursue this strategy if it's not helpful? You know, if the silence is not helpful, a quick case to be made for that?
If the silence is not helpful?
Yeah. Why advocate silence?
So I think that there have been cases where there have been advocates, whether they're members of the U.S. government or if they're working for third party.
You know what? You know what? It's my fault, Danny. I'm going to have to interrupt you. I wanted to know that, but we're running out of time here. But this is a conversation that should continue and will continue. So that's all the time we have. Danny, Dave, Jason, thank you so much for being with us. See you next time. My apologies, Danny.